This is the reading for September 12th, Jeremiah chapter 5. The Lord says, "Walk up and down the streets of Jerusalem, look around and discover these things. Search the public squares of the city. If you can find one person who does honest things, who searches for the truth, I will forgive this city." Although the people say, "As surely as the Lord lives," they don't really mean it. Lord, don't you look for truth in people? You struck the people of Judah, but they didn't feel any pain. You crushed them, but they refused to learn what is right. They became more stubborn than a rock. They refused to turn back to God. But I thought, these are only the poor, foolish people. They have not learned the way of the Lord and what their God wants them to do. So I will go to the leaders of Judah and talk to them. Surely they understand the way of the Lord and know what God wants them to do. But even the leaders had all joined together to break away from the Lord. They had broken their ties with Him. So a lion from the forest will attack them. A wolf from the desert will kill them. A leopard is waiting for them near their towns. It will tear to pieces anyone who comes out of the city. Because the people of Judah have sinned greatly, they have wandered away from the Lord many times. The Lord said, "Tell me why I should forgive you. Your children have left me and have made promises to idols that are not gods at all. I gave your children everything they needed, but they still were like an unfaithful wife to me. They spent much time in houses of prostitutes. They are like well-fed horses filled with sexual desire. Each one wants another man's wife. Shouldn't I punish the people of Judah for doing these things, says the Lord? Shouldn't I give a nation such as this the punishment it deserves? Go along and cut down Judah's vineyards, but do not completely destroy them. Cut off all her people as if they were branches, because they do not belong to the Lord. The families of Israel and Judah have been completely unfaithful to me, says the Lord. Those people have lied about the Lord and said, 'He will not do anything to us. Nothing bad will happen to us. We will never see war or hunger. The prophets are like an empty wind. The word of God is not in them. Let the bad things they say happen to them.'" So this is what the Lord God All-Powerful says. The people said, "I would not punish them." So the words I give you will be like fire, and these people will be like wood that it burns up. Listen, family of Israel, says the Lord. I will soon bring a nation from far away to attack you. It is an old nation that has lasted a long time. The people there speak a language you do not know. You cannot understand what they say. Their arrows bring death. All their people are strong warriors. They will eat your crops and your food. They will eat your sons and daughters. They will eat your flocks and herds. They will eat your grapes and figs. They will destroy you with their swords, the strong walled cities you trust. Yet even then, says the Lord, I will not destroy you completely. When the people of Judah ask, "Why has the Lord our God done all these terrible things to us?" then give them this answer: "You have left the Lord and served foreign idols in your own land. So now you will serve foreigners in a land that does not belong to you." Announce this message to the family of Jacob and tell it to the nation of Judah. Hear this message, you foolish people who have no sense. They have eyes, but they don't really see. They have ears, but they don't really listen. Surely you are afraid of me, says the Lord. You should shake with fear in my presence. I am the one who made the beaches to be a border for the sea. A border the water can never go past. The waves may pound the beach, but they can't win over it. They may roar, but they cannot go beyond it. But the people of Judah are stubborn and have turned against me. They have turned aside and gone away from me. They do not say to themselves, "We should fear the Lord our God, who gives us autumn and spring rains in their seasons, who makes sure we have the harvest at the right time." But your evil has kept away both rain and harvest. Your sins have kept you from enjoying good things. There are wicked men among my people, like those who make nets for catching birds. They set their traps to catch people. Like cages full of birds, their houses are full of lies. They have become rich and powerful. They have grown big and fat. There is no end to the evil things they do. They won't plead the case of the orphan or help the poor be judged fairly. Shouldn't I punish the people of Judah for doing these things, says the Lord? Shouldn't I give a nation such as this the punishment it deserves? A terrible and shocking thing has happened in the land of Judah. The prophets speak lies, and the priests take power into their own hands. But my people love it this way. But what will you do when the end comes? Jeremiah chapter 6. Run for your lives, people of Benjamin. Run away from Jerusalem. Blow the war trumpet in the town of Tekoa. Raise the warning flag over the town of Beth Hakerem. Disaster is coming from the north. Terrible destruction is coming to you. Jerusalem, I will destroy you, you who are fragile and gentle. Shepherds with their flocks will come against Jerusalem. They will set up their tents all around her, each shepherd taking care of his own section. They say, get ready to fight against Jerusalem. Get up, we will attack at noon. But it is already getting late. The evening shadows are growing long. So get up, we will attack at night. We will destroy the strong towers of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord All-Powerful says. Cut down the trees around Jerusalem and build an attack ramp to the top of its walls. This city must be punished. Inside, it is nothing but slavery. Jerusalem pours out her evil as a well pours out its water. The sounds of violence and destruction are heard within her. I can see the sickness and hurts of Jerusalem. Listen to this warning, Jerusalem, or I will turn my back on you and make your land an empty desert where no one can live. This is what the Lord All-Powerful says. Gather the few people of Israel who are left alive, as you would gather the last grapes on a grapevine. Check each vine again, like someone who gathers grapes. To whom can I speak? Whom can I warn? Who will listen to me? The people of Israel have closed ears so they cannot hear my warnings. They don't like the word of the Lord. They don't want to listen to it. But I'm full of the anger of the Lord, and I'm tired of holding it in. Pour out my anger on the children who play in the street and on the young men gathered together. A husband and his wife will both be caught in his anger, as will the very old. Their houses will be turned over to others, along with their fields and wives, because I will raise my hand and punish the people of Judah, says the Lord. Everyone, from the least important to the greatest, is greedy for money. Even the prophets and priests all tell lies. They tried to heal my people's serious injuries as if they were small wounds. They said, it's all right, it's all right. But really, it is not all right. They should be ashamed of the terrible way they act, but they are not ashamed at all. They don't even know how to blush about their sins. So they will fall along with everyone else. They will be thrown to the ground when I punish them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Stand where the roads cross and look. Ask where the old way is, where the good way is, and walk on it. If you do, you will find rest for yourselves. But they have said, we will not walk on the good way. I set watchmen over you and told you, listen for the sound of the war trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. So listen, all you nations, and pay attention, you witnesses. Watch what I will do to the people of Judah. Hear this, people of the earth. I am going to bring disaster to the people of Judah because of the evil they plan. They have not listened to my messages and have rejected my teachings. Why do you bring me offerings of incense from the land of Sheba? Why do you bring me sweet-smelling cane from a faraway land? Your burnt offerings will not be accepted. Your sacrifices do not please me. So this is what the Lord says. I will put problems in front of Judah. Fathers and sons will stumble over them together. Neighbors and friends will die. This is what the Lord says. Look, an army is coming from the land of the north. A great nation is coming from the far sides of the earth. The soldiers carry bows and spears. They are cruel and show no mercy. They sound like the roaring ocean when they ride their horses. That army is coming, lined up for battle, ready to attack you, Jerusalem. We have heard the news about that army and are helpless from fear. We are gripped by our pain like a woman having a baby. Don't go out into the fields or walk down the roads, because the enemy has swords. There is terror on every side. My people, put on rough cloth and roll in the ashes to show how sad you are. Cry loudly for those who are dead, as if your only son were dead, because the destroyer will soon come against us. Jeremiah, I have made you like a worker who tests metal, and my people are like the ore. You must observe their ways and test them. All my people have turned against me and are stubborn. They go around telling lies about others. They are like bronze and iron that become covered with rust. They all act dishonestly. The fire is fanned to make it hotter, but the lead does not melt. The pure metal does not come out. The evil is not removed from my people. My people will be called rejected silver because the Lord has rejected them.
Chapter 20.
When the uproar was over, Paul sent for the disciples, encouraged them, said goodbye, and left for Macedonia. He went through that region and spoke many words of encouragement to the people. Then he went to Greece and stayed there for 3 months. When Paul was going to board a ship for Syria, he found out that the Jews were plotting to kill him, so he decided to go back through Macedonia. Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia accompanied Paul. All these men went ahead and were waiting for us in Troas. After the festival of unleavened bread, we boarded a ship at Philippi. 5 days later, we joined them in Troas and stayed there for 7 days. On Sunday, we met to break bread. Paul was discussing scripture with the people. Since he intended to leave the next day, he kept talking until midnight. Many lamps were lit in the upstairs room where we were meeting. A young man named Eutychus was sitting in a window. As Paul was talking on and on, Eutychus was gradually falling asleep. Finally, overcome by sleep, he fell from the third story and was dead when they picked him up. Paul went to him, took him into his arms, and said, "Don't worry, he's alive." Then Eutychus went upstairs again, broke the bread, and ate. Paul talked with the people for a long time until sunrise and then left. The people took the boy home. They were greatly relieved that he was alive. We went ahead to the ship and sailed for the city of Assos. At Assos, we were going to pick up Paul. He had made these arrangements since he had planned to walk overland to Assos. When Paul met us in Assos, we took him on board and went to the city of Mytilene. We sailed from there. On the following day, we approached the island of Chios. The next day, we went by the island of Samos, and on the next day, we arrived at the city of Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia. He was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, if that was possible. From Miletus, Paul sent messengers to the city of Ephesus and called the spiritual leaders of the church to meet with him in Miletus. When they were with him, he said to them, "You know how I spend all my time with you from the first day I arrived in the province of Asia. I humbly serve the Lord, often with tears in my eyes. I served the Lord during the difficult times I went through when the Jews plotted against me. I didn't avoid telling you anything that would help you, and I didn't avoid teaching you publicly and from house to house. I warned Jews and Greeks to change the way they think and act and to believe in our Lord Jesus. I am determined to go to Jerusalem now. I don't know what will happen to me there. However, the Holy Spirit warns me in every city that imprisonment and suffering are waiting for me. But I don't place any value on my own life. I want to finish the race I'm running. I want to carry out the mission I received from the Lord Jesus, the mission of testifying to the good news of God's kindness. Now I know that none of you whom I told about the kingdom of God will see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am not responsible for the spiritual death of any of you. I didn't avoid telling you the whole plan of God. Pay attention to yourselves and to the entire flock in which the Holy Spirit has placed you as bishops, to be shepherds for God's church, which he acquired with his own blood. I know that fierce wolves will come to you after I leave, and they won't spare the flock. Some of your own men will come forward and say things that distort the truth. They will do this to lure disciples into following them. So be alert. Remember that I instructed each of you for 3 years, day and night, at times with tears in my eyes. I am now entrusting you to God and to his message that tells how kind he is. That message can help you grow and can give you the inheritance that is shared by all of God's holy people. I never wanted anyone's silver, gold, or clothes. You know that I worked to support myself and those who were with me. I have given you an example that by working hard like this, we should help the weak. We should remember the words that the Lord Jesus said, "Giving gifts is more satisfying than receiving them." When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down and prayed with all of them. Everyone cried a lot as they put their arms around Paul and kissed him. The thought of not seeing Paul again hurt them most of all. Then they took Paul to the ship.